Well, Philippians, where are you at, Philippians? I know you're here somewhere. Let's look at Philippians chapter number 4. I'm not going to read the whole chapter tonight. Let me just read for the sake of the text. We're going to be in the whole chapter. Let me read for the sake of the text, starting in verse number 5. Verse number 5. The Bible said, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Brother Brian was on his way to Duke, and he sent me, before he even knew what I was preaching on tonight, he sent me a text out of Matthew where it says, you know, take no thought for tomorrow. And the caption at the top of the paragraph was the cure for anxiety. That was what he read on the way to Duke. And I told him that I was preaching tonight about anxiety. He sent me that. And the title of my message tonight is Answers for Anxiety. Answers for Anxiety. I want to pray with you tonight, and you pray with me, and let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Lord, tonight for the good singing that our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. Lord, it's worship, and God, I praise you for that. And I pray now, Lord, you'd clothe us in our calling tonight and help us, Lord, that we might be a help to our precious people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We have dealing with the subject of anxiety with our young people and some of our young families. And the, I guess you would say, a definition would be an intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. And Brother Joe, if I was understanding your testimony, that's kind of where you were. Amen. And the Bible here says, you say, well, I didn't see the word anxious in the scripture. When it says be careful for nothing, that's what it's talking about. Don't be anxious. Years ago, I was studying this passage, and I began to think about this. What is the difference between concern and worry? If a man is a daddy and he ain't concerned for his children, he ain't worth his salt. If we're not concerned for our country, we ain't worth our citizenship. Say amen. And if we're not concerned for our church and our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, then there's something bad wrong with us. But if we worry, we're sinning. Amen? And so what is the difference? Where is the line? And this is what God gave me, and I'll never forget it. I was studying this passage. And here's what worry does. It wrings its hands and it frets and it says things like this. What are we going to do? I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what's next. But what concern does is takes the situation and carries it to the Lord in prayer. That's what concern does. Amen. As someone said this, and I thought it was worth reading tonight, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Think about that. How can we be really believing God and trusting God and at the same time be anxious and be worrying? Listen to me. Before I get through preaching tonight, the Son of God could step out on a cloud. And we could hear the sound of the trumpet. And we know we have passage after passage after passage that says things like this. And we know that word's huge. No, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We have promises like He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. And so anxiety tonight is something that probably all of us at some point in time have dealt with. Amen. I'm not picking on you, Brother Dale, but I can only imagine when Sister Kathy was going through all that sickness, and you don't know from one day to the next whether she's going to make it or whether she's not going to make it. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's easy to talk it, amen, and a lot harder to walk it, amen, putting your full faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to a place like Job did, where Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've thought about little Sawyer all week ever since that little boy got hurt with his papaw. And Sawyer and I are just real close. And I love all my grandchildren. Don't you get me wrong. But that boy, I'm telling you what, he's so close to my heart, I can't explain to you how much I love him. And you say, Pastor, it's not healthy. Well, I just think sometimes, what if it was me and what if it was him? Amen. And it helps me to enter into somebody else's situation and be able to pray for them a little more. Amen. And I want you to know tonight that God, He knows what we need. Someone said, anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If it's encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Amen. It'll drain you. It'll drain the sap out of you. Amen. It'll consume your thoughts. It'll consume your mind. And one of the things that anxiety does is it takes all of our attention and focuses on ourselves and our situation. Amen. When God doesn't want us to live for ourselves, He wants us to live for the Savior and live for others. Amen. That's what God wants. There's three things tonight I want to share with you. And I told Miss Eve Wednesday night, I said, I've never done that before in my life. I just got crazy Wednesday night. I said, there's three things, but then there's number one under number one, and number two under number one, number three under number one. And it's kind of like that tonight. But I'll try not to do that. Amen. Let's look at these three things tonight. First of all, answers for the anxious. Number one, God is saying, look around you. Look around tonight. Would you look around? What do you see tonight? Look around you. Let me show you in the Word of God. Number one, in verse number one here, you see the faithful brethren. I've been saved since 1987. Somebody said to me not long after that, if you've got that many real friends in the world, then you're blessed. And you know what I say to that? Either I've got a lot more than that, or I'm the biggest fool that ever walked in shoe leather. Amen. I'm telling you, when I get careful about something and anxious about something, I need to look around and I need to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need to understand that God has surrounded me in this precious family with faithful brethren. And listen, I'm not belittling our church, but it's not just our church. God's let me know brethren all across the country. Amen. That with one phone call, they'd be bombarding the throne of grace. Amen. On our behalf. That's a blessing, is it not? And then in verse number three, not only, beloved, as we look around, do we see the faithful brethren, but we see the fellow laborers. There's people that are working. Amen. They've got their shoulder to the plow. Amen. They're not just idling. They're not just coasting. And Jesus said, beloved, we need to pray. He said, the harvest is ripe. It's wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. In verse number three right here, he said, I entreat you also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with men also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. I said it this morning, I say it again tonight. Brother John says often, he says, we're not the only ones in this thing. Thank God there's some workers in Bible Way, but there's workers, amen, all around us, and that ought to encourage us when we look around us. Amen. There's pastors that are staying true to the Word of God, and they're ministering to the people of God. And then number three, under number one here, he said, we look around you, we see the faithful brethren, and then we see the fellow laborers. But the next thing I saw is fruitful brethren. People that are bearing fruit to the glory of God. Look at it with me in verse number 17, and then I'll back up and start reading in verse 14. Paul said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. I'm not going to take the time to go to John chapter 15, but in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he talks about the fruit bearing. He said, with some, there's no fruit. He said, with others, there's fruit. And then there's more fruit. And then he said that God might be glorified, that there ought to be much fruit in our lives. And I tell you, it's a blessing, amen, when you look around. Why would I want to be anxious when I look around and I see the faithful brethren? I look around and I see the fellow laborers. And I look around and see others, these young preachers, Brother Jason's preaching over at Hickman tonight, that are preaching the gospel, amen. And it just tickles me to death and thrills me, amen, and makes me want to turn my attention not inward and be anxious about everything, but looking around and realizing the big picture is what's important, amen. He said here in verse 14, notwithstanding you have well done, look at their fruit, would you please, that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians, you know Philippians is a prison epistle. This is not written, honey, from some mansion up on the hill. This is written from a prison. Amen. Paul's been in prison, not for stealing. Amen. And not for killing somebody, but he's been in prison for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you communicated with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire to give, but I desired fruit that it may abound to your account. Did you all understand this? When the mission money goes out of this church month after month after month, and a soul gets saved on that foreign soul, don't you understand, beloved, that God is putting a mark on the account of Bible Way Baptist Church because we prayed for that missionary, because we support that missionary, and because we believe the gospel is what people need. Amen. They need more than a sandwich. They need a Savior. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said here, but I have all, verse number 18, and abound. And I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Did you know, listen to me, a lot of people want to jerk verse 19 out of this chapter, and they want to claim that verse. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're not supporting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that verse don't belong to you. This verse is given, beloved, to a group of people that are supporting the gospel through the Apostle Paul and through his ministry. He said here, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let me ask you something. Have you ever heard somebody say this? I know it to be the truth. God will not let you outgive him. How many's ever heard that? How many knows it from experience? I dare you to try it. Say amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. I've tried it over and over and over and over, and God, beloved, he'll bring it in, pressed down, good measure. I'm telling you, he'll take care of his children. We oughtn't to be anxious when we start looking around us. Lots of times when we look around, all we see is the problems. We don't see the people. We don't see the blessings. You know, one preacher said, I know I finally figured out how to get rid of all the problems in my church. Another pastor said, please tell me, how did you do that? He said, just get rid of all the people. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's a sad state to be in. Say amen. Somebody said to me one time, said, I heard a man preach this. He said, if you think you're leading, he said, and you look behind you and nobody's following, he said, you're not leading. You're just going for a walk. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is not just going for a walk. He's the good shepherd. There's a whole bunch of people behind him. Amen. and a pastor that's worth his salt's not just going for a walk. There's somebody following him. Amen. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so tonight, number one, answers for the anxious, look around you. Number two, and this is probably as good as it'll get, look above you. We say we don't need to just look around. We need to look up. We need to look above. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, look here. Number one here, we need to look up and rejoice. Look at verse number four. Rejoice in your circumstances always. And again, I say rejoice. Is that what it says? Let me tell you something about circumstances. They change. They change every day. Some days a lot more than other days. That family that we've been praying for this week, there was a day this week and their world was turned upside down. Their circumstances changed, amen. It changed. And listen, a lot of it has to do with finances. A lot of it has to do with grief. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's someone who never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And the way to, my friend, keep from being anxious about things is look up at the one. Our circumstances may change, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he never changes. Amen. What a blessing that is. We need to look up and rejoice. And then we need to look up and remember. Joe, are you getting this back there? I thought you was going to preach my message standing in that corner over there, buddy. Amen. We need to look up and remember. You know what the devil wants us to do when we start to get a little bit anxious about things? He wants us to forget the goodness of God. He wants us to forget the mercy of God. He wants us to forget that what God's already done. Say amen. Did you know something tonight? If we could just go back to that time when he saved us, that'd help us a whole lot. Amen. Just go back there and say, God, if you can save me, you can save anybody. God, if you can save me, you can take care of me. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart we need to look up and rejoice, but we need to look up and remember. What do you say? What are you saying, Pastor? Look at verse number 5. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. What's the next statement? The Lord is at hand. I used to, Brother Mark, you work in a machine shop. Well, but I reckon you do, amen. You're the owner. You can work if you want to. Sit down if you want to, I reckon, amen. He's the boss till Tony gets there. Amen. But let me tell you something. I used to get so aggravated about things. I mean aggravated. Y'all ain't never seen me aggravated. Pray you don't. Pray, Pastor, never gets aggravated. Amen. In our presence. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I used to get so aggravated about that circumstance that was right in front of me. I worked in a machine shop. I worked with my dad. I tell you, I used to get so aggravated. Miss Eve would say something to me like this. You're going to have a heart attack if you don't quit. That's just what you need when you're aggravated. Some woman to look at you and say, you're going to have a heart attack if you don't quit. But you know what? She's right. Y'all don't tell her that. Please don't tell her that. Amen. I got enough problems. Don't tell her that. Let me tell you something. You know what got me? One day I got to thinking about these things that's causing me to want to blow a gasket. This time next week, probably this time tomorrow, this ain't even going to matter anymore. And so I just stop, take a deep breath, try to work my way through it. Amen. I'm telling you, there have been times when I've had a rifle or a pistol on the bench. And I'm being real careful and I'm taking it apart. And all of a sudden, there's a spring in there. Ping! Where'd it go? So I spend the next 3 hours, Brother Mike, looking for it. Amen. Sweeping for it. Amen. But then I find it. And then I don't know, Brother Mike, where it goes. It come out there too fast. And I'm just trying to tell you, we can get anxious about things that really don't matter. That really don't matter. But if you think about it, you say, Pastor, how in the world did you get that thing back together? I'm going to tell you, if you get something like that apart and you can't get it back together, YouTube is your friend. you get that video and you pause it. I pause it a lot. I got to take it one step at a time. Pause it. Put it back together. Amen. But I'm just telling you tonight, we need to look up and remember the Lord is at hand. Let me ask you something. What's aggravating us tonight? What's it going to matter if we're anxious about something and He steps out on that cloud? Honey, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite lines in song is, "This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer." Amen. I tell you, beloved, tonight, God wants us to look around. He wants us to look up. Look up and rejoice. Look up and remember. But then this is important as well. We need to look up and request. Look what the Bible said in verse number 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Every time I quote that verse, I have a tendency to forget those two words. "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." I read this. I didn't hear it. I don't know that I've ever heard John Rice preach, but I've read some of his writings. And I think he even made a booklet, a pamphlet that said, prayer is asking. Worship is a part of prayer, but really when you get down to praying, it's asking. Turn with me to Luke for just a moment. I'll not be too long tonight. Luke chapter number 11. Prayer is asking. We need to look up and request. Did you know tonight that God knows what we have need of, even before we ask? But did you know that He loves for us to ask? My children, when we started a family, I think back about my children. I think about something they used to do, Sister Gladys, in the store. They would see something that just caught their eye, and they liked it, and they would hold it up. I'll hold this phone up. They'd say, "Daddy, we can't have this, can we?" Let me bring it a little bit closer home. Charity told Miss Eve that Sawyer was wanting a sweatshirt. She said, "I'm not getting that sweatshirt. That sweatshirt's $55. Guess who's going to stick his nose in, amen, where it don't belong? Amen. Actually, I think he's changed his mind. He'd rather have a ball glove now, so we're going to take him, get him fitted for a ball glove. Amen. But that $55 don't mean nothing to a papaw. Somebody say amen. That don't mean nothing. Amen. I might even rob a store, brother, if I had to. Amen. Get that money. Y'all know better than that. But we need to look up and request. Look here with me at Luke chapter 11 just a moment. I want to magnify something. Verse number 9. "And I say unto you," these are Jesus' words. He said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Boy, God, just give me something. Remember what I said about my kids? That's how we approach the throne room sometimes. God, we can't have this, can we? You know what the book of James says? Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Ain't that right? A double-minded man's not going to receive from the Lord. Watch what he said here. "Everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will you give him a stone? If he ask a fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" God gives us the Holy Spirit because He wants us to have power. You know, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. He don't want us to have power just for a show. He wants us to have the power of God in our lives that we might share the gospel with somebody else. And then the Holy Spirit gives us purpose. In the book of Acts, the Bible said, with purpose of heart, they cleaved unto the Lord. And then in verse number 7 in our text, this is the main thing tonight about asking. Look up. Look above you. Look up and rejoice. Look up and remember. Look up and request. He wants us to have peace. In verse number 7, the Bible said, and the peace of God. Did you know, I think most people know this, but the peace that the Bible speaks of with God and the peace of God is two different things. We make peace with God through His cross, through coming to Him, through receiving Him as our Lord and our Savior. But the peace of God, I've been reminded of this many times in my ministry. I think some people get it like this. They say, you come to Jesus and you get saved by trusting Jesus. Maybe you come to an altar, maybe you kneel at a porch or a coffee table or somewhere. You get saved by trusting Jesus. And then you get up and you live the rest of your life trying. In other words, you got saved trusting, but now you got to go do the best you can trying. Honey, that's not a life of faith. And that's not peace. Say amen. Peace is trusting Him to be your Savior, but then walking with Him day by day and trusting Him. Because anxiety and trust can't dwell in the same heart. Amen. If we're trusting Him, then we know, beloved, that we can ask Him and He will give us that peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the last thing tonight. Look around you, number one. Look above you, number two. And number three, here's the last thing. Look within you. Do you remember David in the book of Psalms? I think it's chapter 139. He said this, search me, O God, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see. This is a man after God's own heart. He said, see if there be any wicked way in me. He was looking within. You say, where do you see that in the scripture? Well, look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what's that next word? Think on these things. You know where anxiety comes from a lot? It's thinking. We're not thinking on things that are pure, thinking on things that are lovely. And I'm going to tell you something, who wants to have an impact on stinking thinking is old devil. He'll back you up in the corner, he'll say, don't nobody care about you. Anybody ever heard his voice? Say amen. I'm going to tell you, he will tell you everything except the truth because he's a liar and the father of a lie. So when we look within, we see that it matters how we think. As a matter of fact, there's a verse of scripture, I don't know exactly where it's at, except I can tell you it's in the Bible. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen? It matters how we think. By the way, I believe many battles are won and lost right there between the ears. How many believes that tonight? Anxiety gets the better part of you. It's because something's been going on between them ears. It ain't got no business going on between them ears. I believe Paul said it like this, and I've never arrived at that. Bringing every thought into captivity. I've not gotten there yet. Have you, Brother Chris? Have you, Brother Chuck? Have you gotten there yet? No, sir. I still got some. Listen, I like what one old preacher said. He said, he's talking about thoughts that goes through his mind. He said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. What's that mean? I'm going to tell you something right now. If a bird goes to building a nest in my, and it's that time of year at my house, they build everywhere except where I want them to. I'm going to get him out. Amen. They ain't going to build a nest in my hair. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When them thoughts get crossways with the Word of God, I need to get them out. I don't know how many times I could just be going down the road and say the word no. God, you help me. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't admit that. Well, then don't. I'm telling you that my thoughts are not always pleasing to God. And when they're not, God's given me enough grace to stop and say, no, I'm not going there. Amen. I believe God wants us to have the answer for anxiety and for being anxious. Look around you, look above you, but look within you. It matters how you think. In verse number 9, it matters how you act. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard, I've never seen this before, and seen in me do. Doesn't it look like that order is just exactly backwards? Looks to me like you would hear something, then you would receive something, then you would learn something. But he said you learned it, and then you received it, and then you heard it. Think about that. God wants us, beloved, to understand it matters how we think. It matters how we act. And then in verse number 12, it matters what we know. He said, I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm telling you, contentment. The Word of God said godliness with contentment is great gain. I heard this, and I think it's worthy of repeating. A man said this. He said, a man is not rich in respect to what he has. There's a lot of people in the world you could look at and say, man, that guy's rich. Look what he's got. Look where he lives. Look what he drives. Look what he wears. But a man is not rich in respect to what he has. He's rich in respect to what he wants. Because if you've got $10 million and all you want's one more million, you're not as rich as the guy that's got $100 and don't want a thing. He's content with what God's given him. Is everybody following me right there? And a lot of people are anxious about that. Amen. They're anxious about the stock market. They're anxious about the economy. My wife said a while ago, said, I'm not going to complain about $5 eggs anymore. You know why? She found out they're $19 in California. How many wants to get a bus and move to California? A bunch of nuts. Amen. Nobody. Look within you. It matters how we think. It matters how we act. It matters what we know. And then it matters, this is the key to the whole thing, who we know. I'm just going to give you a couple of instances in the chapter. In verse number 1 and verse number 4, you find the words, in the Lord. Verse number 5, the Lord. Verse number 7, through Christ Jesus. Verse number 9, the God of peace. Verse number 13, through Christ. Verse number 19, by Christ Jesus. Verse number 21, in Christ Jesus. Verse number 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard this through the years, and how many's ever worked in a factory? How many's ever worked in a factory? I've heard this through the years, and I guess there's some truth in it. In some circles, that they say this, it don't matter what you know, it's who you know. How many's ever heard that before? Now, that's not always right. Say amen. Sometimes I think a guy that's qualified is being bypassed because somebody else knows somebody. Amen. I guess recently we'd call that DEI. Amen. I'm just glad it's DOA. Dead on arrival. Amen. Let me say this to you. In the Christian life, it does matter who you know. Paul said that I may know him. He had already been saved. Paul wasn't talking about knowing him as Savior. Paul was talking about knowing him in a more intimate way as his shepherd. I'm telling you, I haven't read it other than maybe if you incorporate it into Romans chapter number 7 when Paul said, the things I would not do, I do. The things I would, I don't do. And then he cried out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? But then he comes right back to the who. I thank my God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, we're in the last of the last of the last days. Get just as close to him as you can. Stay close to him. Walk with him. Amen. I love that song. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. Appreciate you being here tonight. Let's not go and be anxious. Let's go and trust the Lord. Amen. You say, Pastor, you may have to eat those words before the week's over. Honey, I may have to eat those words before the night's over. But let me tell you something about those words. That's good eating. We need to trust Him. He's trustworthy. When we don't understand it. How many's ever looked at a tracking number on a package? Something you're going to receive or something you've sent. How many's ever looked at a tracking number? How many's ever been frustrated by that? It's sitting in Memphis for day after day after day after day. How many's with me? I'm going somewhere with this. This is what I heard a preacher say, and I've never forgotten it. He said, when you can't track Him, you can still trust Him. You might not know what He's doing. You might not know what He's up to. But if you know Him, you can still trust Him. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. Let's go out of here and walk with the Lord. Talk with the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer.